Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, and I'm reading from the New International Version for Ruth and Hebrews, and then I'll switch to the New Living Translation for the Book of Psalms. Starting with Ruth chapter 2 and verse 14, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. And this is about a mealtime. So I was thinking about you guys and everybody who's listening along. I just realized that my aunt in South Carolina listens. And one of the questions I asked her recently is, what is your go-to item for mealtime? What does some of your family like? That has nothing to do with the Bible, but I'm just kind of wondering what all of you are eating for dinner tonight, because we're talking about a mealtime in the scripture today. So text me, let me know. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up. Don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. I love the story of Ruth. It's so fun to read a narrative with you. I hope you're enjoying it as well. And just how the providence of the Lord is at work behind the scenes in that story. It reminds me that the providence of the Lord is working behind the scenes in our stories as well. Now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we're in Psalm 3. Remember, we're doing the New Living Translation. And this is a psalm of David, and it's about the time when David fled from his son Absalom. If you're like me, you may need to do some mental jogging and go back to 2 Samuel 15 through 17, and that's the story of Absalom and his turn from allegiance to his father, David, and he tries to get all the people to love him and to follow him, and he wants to usurp David and his power. And David ends up fleeing. It's a very dark time. And so this is a psalm that just reminds us, in the midst of suffering and in the midst of forsakenness, that our Lord is there with us. "Oh Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, 'God will never rescue him.' But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me.
I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. And now let's move on over to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 4. And in this passage today, the author of Hebrews talks about a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day, in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for all the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together here in the book of Hebrews. I see kind of three themes today. First is this idea of Sabbath rest, and we know that God calls us to rest from our labors regularly. One thing that Jen Wilkin talks about when she talks about Sabbath is we rest so that others may rest as well. When we stop and yield ourselves to the Lord, that also allows others to stop and rest. It's just an interesting thought. Then he talks about the Bible. He talks about God's word. What does he say about it? It's sharper than a double-edged sword. He also gives these words as descriptors of the word of God. It is alive and active. Man, that gives me a lot of excitement about what we do regularly, that we are diving into God's word. And we pray that it will judge the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And even more than that, it will draw us into fellowship with Jesus, the great high priest. And that's the last part of Hebrews 4. Let us hold firmly to him and to the faith that we profess in him. we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence because of Him. And this promise here that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this great reminder in Hebrews that Jesus can empathize with our weaknesses. Lord Jesus, we know that you were tempted in every way, yet you did not sin. And we praise you for holding up for us what we could not do. Thank you that we can approach God's throne of grace by your blood with confidence that we right now don't have to shudder in fear. Nothing that we could do would make us good enough to enter into your presence. And yet you have called us your sons and your daughters. Lord Jesus, you have called us your brothers and sisters. It's amazing work of atonement that we cannot understand. But we give you great thanks and praise for the mercy and the grace that you give us in times of need. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters, wherever they are, whatever their need is, that today they would be reminded that you are present with them. You are their refuge. You are one in whom they can find their hiding place. And pray all of this in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns with you, God the Father, and God the Son. Amen.